Aloha.
He succumbed to the bug, didn't he?
Her upper lip never moved while she talked.
Hello and welcome. We're back from the BallerLifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. Episode 336 of the show. Thank you for joining us. If you have not checked it out, last week we reviewed the 1986 Major League Baseball Classic, Major League, with special guests Jason Stewart and Travis Rogers. And Jason Stewart, we're gonna have to review this in a second. He stopped the show dead, as he does always time, with a completely nonsensical joke. So if you haven't heard that, go back and listen and explain what he was talking about to me. Also, if you are not signed up, please get on it and join our Red Circle page. Just go to my Twitter. There's a link pinned to my Twitter, or go to the website, theballerlifestyle.com. There's a link pinned to the top of that as well. And somebody's really into trying to sell me lifestyle.com. Apparently lifestyle. Oh no, it might be lifestyle podcast is for sale. And I'm inundated with emails trying to sell me that. And I'm not interested, guys. I don't care. I don't want lifestylepodcast.com. I am joined now, as I am every week, by Mr. Ed Daly. He's written a book, Heroes and Jerks. It's available on Amazon. Ed, what's up?
Not a whole lot, but we did forget
the loudcomers,
for Major League, and we had a little text exchange. I was just looking at it.
Yeah, well, hold on.
Who's that loudcomer?
Listener of the show suggestion, Toe Cutter.
Coming all over.
Every time we do a movie review, he would like us to rate the loudest comer as a character in the movie, and we forget nearly every week. Last week we did Major League, and then we texted about it afterward. Ed was like, Travis,
yes. So I texted and said, hey, we forgot. Mm-hmm. And you were like, yeah, I just thought of that. And then Travis goes, I hate this topic.
Yeah.
But it's clearly Serrano.
Yeah. It's a good candidate.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
I personally just watching the slow motion of him making his way to first after the bunt.
Yeah.
I think Jake, what was his last name?
Jake Taylor. Tom Berenger.
Yeah. I think he's the one. From the way he goes down first base and he's like, and like collapses, I just think he's going to be that kind of guy.
Well, like all ball players also, he needs it. So he's like down there slamming chicks south of the border in the Mexican League. Like he's not a – neither of those guys. Serrano, you know, he's Latin. Jake Taylor – ball player, like very, very good choices. Personally, I like Rachel Phelps, the team owner, to be the loudcomer, because think about it. She's a showgirl that inherited the team from her. She was widowed from her dead husband. So we got an Anna Nicole, Jay Pierce Morgan.
Like she had to land the big Marlin.
Right.
She had to perform.
Yeah, she's a
to be that rich guy's wife.
Ed, she's a showgirl, and you know it couldn't have been that fun to sex some dying old man, so she had to perform. So Rachel Phelps is for sure a very loud fake comer. So there could be an asterisk there, like because she probably never actually orgasmed with the old guy, but she could pretend very well, so she would be a very loud performative comer.
And I just thought of another movie we could put on the list is she's the aunt in Secret of My Success.
Oh, yeah. Classic.
That sexes up Michael J. Fox.
Put it put on the list. We've decided to do our first Fast and the Furious next week. So for all you Fast and the Furious fans out there, we'll be reviewing Fast 5.
Yeah, it's on HBO.
Because it's on HBO. So that's pretty exciting.
I gotta say.
Hold on. Before we move off of Major League and get into other topics.
Yep.
Did you understand at all Jay Stu's red zone joke?
No, not at all.
I think it might have been related to Red Circle, but he said red. It was so confusing to me, and so
it was
just
written down. It had to be. It was like he was really proud to roll it out, and I didn't get it.
No one got it. No one remotely got it. Like no one. It could be unfunny, and you still get it. But it was both unfunny and ungettable.
Yeah, I was just that. I think I just said nothing during that part, just to see how quickly we could move forward.
Yeah, it was tough. We didn't linger on it. Okay, what were we gonna say?
I was just gonna say, we're not supposed to be surprised by anything these days.
Yeah.
But I will say I was like genuinely or was am kind of in a funk over the discourse over that fucking 17-year-old kid crossing state lines with his mom and killing people
to do a murder.
Yeah. And I just school shootings are the worst and are horrible. But at least you get this feeble, well, we got to check mental health or something. But the fact that this guy is just being straight up defended, it bummed me out because like now we've reached the point of going too far. You could argue how gun policies should be carried out, but at least everybody agreed it was bad who the bad guy was in a school shooting. So I'm not saying school shooting like just there's always it's a clear bad guy when there's a school shooting. Here, I thought there was a clear bad guy and it would be explained away in certain ways of like, well, you know, he's mentally ill or something and he's being actively defended. And I got a response from bots on my thing.
There's so many bots out there.
But that bot response, you know, becomes a lot of people's defense. And it's I don't know. To me, of all the fucking things that have happened this decade or over the past decade, this is the thing that kind of just even surprised me that somehow he was getting defended by lots of people. And I mean, it just bummed me out because we've reached that point where now like murder isn't murder. Yeah, like it's crazy to me.
Yeah.
And it's sad. It's really sad.
I'm so like numb to it.
I thought I was too, and this for some reason just put me in a funk.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, this guy's getting defended?
Also, if your mom gives you a ride to do murder, then your mom needs to be charged also with murder. Yeah.
She needs to go to jail.
Hey mom, I'm gonna go cross state lines tonight to do some murders. Can you give me a lift? Sure, yeah. Son.
And you see her like a sad G.I. Jane looking woman?
No. I'm not surprised though.
Yeah,
of course.
Dumpy G.I. Jane, like all everybody in full fatigues and strapped, ready to go. So, I mean, you know, you could say, well, he was raised to be this way. But yeah, but he committed a double homicide and another shooting. It was just a fucking bummer.
Yeah.
But there was also a great story this week. It had been trickling out for, I don't know, at least a year. Jerry Falwell saga. We never really talked about it.
I love it.
I think it's just the fucking best.
I love it.
Like, how can you not love that?
He's a cuckold.
Yeah. And this goes back to, I think it was last week where I was saying, look, I'm just happy I don't have weird fetishes.
Yeah.
I would hate that, like, it would turn me on to watch somebody bang my wife.
Yeah.
That'd be terrible.
Yes. The worst.
and like, it's hilarious because this fucking judgmental prick and his dad was one of the all-time pieces of shit. And they've been like almost like the gatekeepers of what is right and just and to just be this guy. And look, people have weird fetishes and that's fine, but you can't have any fetishes, any weird shit when you are the most judgmental prick on earth.
I thought it would be kind of a relief to him that it came out that this was the situation, because when we're not done hearing about it. Well, probably not. But originally, you know, we heard that he bought this guy a gym, or not a gym, a hostel.
A couple years. Miami, which is big time.
So we're like, oh, he bought this guy a hostel because he likes to suck this guy's dick.
I still think that we're going to hear that.
Oh, that could be involved. Maybe he's playing it off. Maybe they've coordinated.
Yeah, I think this is the most palatable
thing.
Like, okay, you caught me. This is the weird thing when it's not the weird thing. Well, weird is the, you know, it's a word, but it's not the big thing.
Right. And his defense is, well, I'm not a preacher, which is, yes, you're not, but you're the CEO of like one of the most morally, like the most religious colleges in the country
with all kinds of crazy rules,
honor code and all that. So it's fun. Right.
It's great.
It's super great. Fun.
And I welcome the second leg of stories that'll leak out.
I'm way into it. A note of correction for the sports radio hosts of the world, because I heard it several times today. The NBA playoffs are going on. I'm barely paying attention. But there's two games tonight. And the proper grammar, guys, is games seven. Not game sevens. Games seven is what we say. Not games like, seven. Like, game sevens.
Like attorneys general.
Right. Exactly. Brothers-in-law. It's the thing. You pluralize the thing that's happening. The thing that's happening is the games, not the sevens. Games seven, not game sevens. If we could all get together.
Learn it.
Learn it.
Know it.
Know it. Anything else we need to discuss?
No, I think that's...
I think we're pretty light on email today, but luckily, unless you want to know about all the people that want to sell me, I've already deleted them all, lifestylepodcast.com. But we do have some voicemails. Let's get into those.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus so fucking boring and worthless. But he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than Ish. His faults are useless.
Where's old Ish? Okay, let's jump into these.
Bri Mix, Easy Eduardo, T. Raj, Stewie. Okay.
Does he know that they're not, like, I know. They were on last week?
He's responding to them last week. Maybe we should have let people know, but it kind of came together late, so.
Yeah.
Understandable.
So, this is why I love this damn show, The Baller Lifestyle.
Oh, we love you too, buddy.
The gift that keeps on giving.
That's right.
Kind of like my voicemails.
That's true.
All right, so let's straighten it out.
You can sing this, dude.
Yeah.
What I said was, if Kennard was getting more ass.
Oh, see, this is what we did last week. We had questions about his voicemail, and I announced to all of you guys, I think it was Travis that was asking those questions. I was like, guys, you need to stop asking Manuel questions, because he's going to call next week and answer them. And here he is doing it.
In a strip mall, which contains a nursing school, not a nursery, nursing school, nail shop, and some other thing. The whole point was that said strip mall doesn't have to be a real place, Travis. And yes, nursing schools can be in anywhere from a strip mall.
Travis didn't understand that nursing schools can exist outside of brick-and-mortar four-year institutions or hospitals, yeah.
Anyway, university campus, go figure, huh? Yep. It's one of those crazy industries where training is available in many places. Okay, but I digress.
That's for
back
sure.
To what Travis was having a hard time for. Mm-hmm. It was just a metaphor saying, like, if you got a nursing school, a nail shop, and that other place, again, it flips my mind, then that means you got all kinds of ass arriving to that place.
That's right.
A lot of pussy. A lot of good-looking pussy,
that's
usually.
Right.
Because not a lot of fat nurses, if you think about it. But anyhow, again.
Nurses, pretty hot for the most part, and pretty crazy in my experience. The number one nutty vocation.
I know some good nurses.
I know lots of good nurses, but they're all just a little
and
bit crazy.
Attractive.
Oh, very.
Yeah.
Here's the two craziest female dominated professions. Number one, nurse. Number two, hairstylist. Number three, teacher.
Oh, I just thought of a connection I have. Mike, I am related to a nurse,
yeah,
who is in delivery situations.
Yeah, labor and delivery.
Yeah, Max Scherzer, his wife.
Yeah.
And Max Scherzer, very generous with everyone involved.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you tip?
Apparently there were gifts.
What? Gifts?
Yeah, good dude.
Wow.
Good dude.
Wow.
Not like there was something crazy going on. Like,
right.
You know, a very on edge situation. Just awesome dude.
He's got the two different colored eyes.
Yeah. Looks crazy as fuck.
Yeah.
Awesome pitcher.
Yeah, he's a great pitcher.
But yeah, real good dude. Like, yeah. Heartfelt, like, letters to everyone involved.
What?
Yeah, like, great dude.
Really? So, is he a God Squad guy? Is it like, have a blessed day type of thing?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, even better.
Maybe he is. Maybe he is in other walks of life. Just awesome dude.
Good to know. I like hearing that. That's fantastic.
It's good to hear that somebody's good dude.
Is your relative that's a nurse a little bit nuts?
No.
No?
Yeah, I mean, I know of several, and one I definitely know is kind of nuts,
but most
that I know are very solid. Mm-hmm. This one in particular is very solid.
Very good at their jobs. I'm not saying that you don't, because this male nurses, I'm cool with male nurses, but I will say this, high percentage of mercy killers amongst male nurses. Lots of hot shots on the male nurses shift. I'm not saying a man can't be a nurse. There's nothing wrong with a man being a nurse. It's a noble profession. Nothing wrong with that. You're giving of yourself, but it just seems like people that want to low key murder the elderly by over medicating them tend to gravitate towards that job, towards a job where they can be around elderly people that are easy to murder. And as we all know, murders almost always men. So male nurses doing a lot of murders. That's all.
One thing I will say is one of my sons is born on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, I felt like the nurses that were on call for those couple of days wanted to murder me, my wife, and everybody involved. Everybody was like not happy to be on the job that day.
I feel like they get like double time for that. The nurses,
maybe, but they're
well compensated.
I mean, yeah, it was just a very different experience with the same hospital. I mean, slightly different situations, but still.
Yes.
You felt a kind of a simmering anger that they're working on a holiday.
I saw an infographic recently, and it was a chart of every day of the year, and it had them all ranked at for the most prevalent birthday day to the least. And the number one least most birthdays happen on what day?
I don't know.
Christmas Day. The lowest number, the least popular birthday in this country, I think it was in this country, is Christmas Day.
Because people won't schedule it.
Probably. Yeah, probably try to avoid having it that day.
But you know what's interesting? I was looking up for my son last year, like celebrities. Christmas is a good celebrity birthday day, and Christmas Eve is garbage.
Oh, interesting.
Like, there are a lot, like, LeBron James, and, like, it's a very famous person birthday.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Second least popular birthday?
New Year's?
January 1st. Yeah. New Year's Day. I forgot.
He was scheduled C-section.
I forgot to look up as we know.
What's the most?
You know what the most is?
It's like July. No. What is it? People getting down.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, you're onto something there. You're onto something.
Oh, what? Valentine's Day?
It's
plus.
Nope. You're pretty close though. It's so
it'll be December.
Nope.
Early December.
Nope. The number one birthday, the number one most common birthday is September 12th, which would coincide with a lot of people fucking around the beginning of the year.
Hmm.
Yeah. I didn't look up which, because you obviously have the best birthday, 311, which is 311 day, which is, of course, named for the greatest band in the history of music. 311, who does rap.
I just pipe the stereo. I just, everything, it's on a loop. And I just hear.
Yes. Because one guy sings and the other guy raps, and it's reggae played by white guys. Because who doesn't want to hear reggae played by white guys from the Midwest? But it also has white guy rapping and then like a little bit of like poppy rock and roll involved. So it's like basically the best of all worlds. 311. And so I figure a lot of people are scheduling because these days women don't want to blow out their bits. So what they do is they schedule, especially here in Los Angeles, they schedule to have the baby surgically removed from their womb. And you can do that pretty much any day around the time it's ripe to come out. So you figure if you're having a spring baby, I mean, they're like, hey, why don't you come in on March 8th? We have time that day. And then you go, how about we wait?
Work for me.
How about that's a Friday? How about we wait till after the weekend and we just do it on 311?
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, pretty sweet. So I figured that I forgot to look at that one, I'll be honest, but I got to figure it's pretty high on the list. Okay, let's slog through the rest of Manuel talking about nursing schools. He's now explained whatever Travis was asking about.
You can find attractive. But this is about canards. So is he saying there's lots of other? I don't know.
No, so we're going to have to let him explain. This is Travis's fault. Okay, here we go.
I digress. It was just a metaphor saying that if you're getting that much, you know, female companionship, then absolutely go on. However, now you guys touch something else right beyond what, you know, once I was done laughing with the Jim Jeffries thing and Scooby, what the fuck, dude? Using someone else's toothbrush is cool? No. Personal hygiene 101, you dope. You don't switch up toothbrushes with anybody.
Okay, I hate to say this. I'd forgotten about this. Manuel makes a very good point. First of all, Jay Stu started the show by making a joke that no one understood. Then he uses someone else's bit from a comedy special to make a metaphor in which he tried to justify. That it's okay to use someone's toothbrush that you just met. That's insane.
Yeah, that you just met. I mean, it's only happened a couple of times in the nearly quarter century I've been with Michelle. Yes. Well, we like went somewhere and I forgot a toothbrush or something like that. Course. And it's like, can I use yours?
In a pinch.
But somebody I'd already known for a decade that happened.
Of course.
Like,
yes.
Come on.
No, Susan, you met her that night?
No.
You know what can be
around your gums.
You know
shit?
What can be on some gums, and it's the bristles, and the bristles scratch against the gums, and they get under the gum line.
No.
Wow. What if she has an abscess or something in there, like just something gross, disgusting. Manuel's right here.
Even your mom, man. Don't use other people's toothbrushes anytime, anywhere, any place. You can go to a 99-cent store and get like a 4-pack of new toothbrushes. You should never be without a toothbrush. If you're a laboring, blue-collar person like myself, you should have your own toothbrush.
Agreed.
In your lunchbox.
Yep.
And or at your office, so that if and when you need to brush your teeth, you brush your teeth with your own damn toothbrush. And I love Jim Jeffries.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'll tell you what, man, that Aborigine is out there on this one, man. That Aussie bastard is wrong.
Aborigine.
He's funny as hell, but you never use someone else's toothbrush, damn it. And I'm passionate about
he's
that.
He's right. Yeah, I mean, he's right.
Toothbrushes are for one person.
Wow. He maxed out the time.
I mean, he was feeling it, and he was right.
He's right.
The one thing the lunchbox. Yeah. Why does he have a tooth? Like he'll brush after lunch.
Yeah, that's a tough. So
I always when I was in an office, I had mouthwash, but I didn't brush teeth in the office.
Yes. So I do. I have like a messenger, like a computer bag, and I do keep like certain, I have like floss in there, and I do have a toothbrush and toothpaste, but not like for everyday use, but in case there's something I got to do, go straight from work to the dentist or something
Yeah.
An emergency
like
brush needs to happen.
Bathroom,
it's disgusting. Yeah.
It's disgusting. Yeah. So I don't want to brush my teeth in there. So I used to just have the mouthwash.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah. You got to freshen up. That's okay. I also have like a standard overnight bag.
You're like, what's his name in Heat? You're ready to go.
Right. Go bag. Time. Yeah. I got my go bag in case Wangro rats me out. I got a go bag, and I keep like the full, toiletry kit in there. So okay. I got my gold bond powder for my balls, which I've made very clear.
You never know when Wangro.
Right. Wangro could throw you under the bus, and you got to fucking lamb it out to New Mexico or something. So yeah. I got another toothbrush and toothpaste and floss and hair gel and like that kind of shit, just standard, ready to go in the old go bag. Okay. Thanks for that, Manuel. Let's do another quick email, voicemail here.
Hey guys, Kyle and Scotty here. What the fuck Kyle is going on?
Wow, Kyle and Scotty.
Love him.
Don't hear from him too often. What do we know about Kyle and Scotty? He lives in Wisconsin.
That's great.
He drinks PBR. He's a farmer.
He's great.
He's an actual farmer. We were talking about farmers one time, and we're like, hey, if you're a farmer, call us up. And Kyle and Scotty called up, and he's like, yeah, I'm a farmer. Unbelievable. How many farmers you know? One.
Definitely my favorite.
Good job.
Yeah.
Well, I'm only halfway
Same.
Through the Major League podcast here. Thanks for having T-Raj back on, by the way. Hey, Bob Uecker is a fucking legend. He is fucking the best.
Scotty.
Don't ever say anything bad about him. He free risks everything. Everything is nuts. I listen to all of his games. He's only doing home games nowadays because he's 80 fucking years old.
He's at least that old.
But hey, that motherfucker there is better than Vin Scully. I will promise you that.
Hold on a second. He makes it seem like we insulted Bob Uecker in some way.
We had different takes on different parts of the movie, but universally we talked about how Uecker was terrific and underrated.
He's a treasure. And Kyle and Scotty's doing a thing, and maybe I take this personally, but not just because I love Vin Scully. It's always weird to me when somebody has to praise somebody,
put down
Right. And has to do it in comparison to someone else. Like, why can't they both be great? They both are great. Like, no one's disrespecting Bob Uecker here. The guy's amazing. He's incredible.
I've listened to Vince.
But, you know, I definitely watched it as a kid, but just in my mind, I know Mr. Belvedere was a bad show, but he was the good part of that show. Uecker.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean,
like he would just slam Mr. Belvedere, who was famous for sitting on his balls.
Right. I know who the worst part of that show was, and that was Wesley.
Wesley.
Wesley was by far the worst. You know who wasn't the worst? The sister.
Yeah.
She was all right.
She's all right.
And also the older brother. What's that?
Kevin.
Kevin, the older brother, eventually became Marilyn Manson.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. As was
the urban legend.
Yeah, that somewhere they had to pump Rod Stewart's stomach.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
I mean, Belvedere, Christopher Hewitt. He was a big song. Yeah, he was a big song and dance guy. But they lost. Did he? He succumbed to the bug, didn't he?
No.
Oh, he didn't.
You know who did? You know who did?
Who?
Sadly. Coleman from Trading Places.
Oh, that's too bad.
And he was also Marcus in the Indiana Jones movies.
Right. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. That's too bad. Yeah. Uecker was one of those guys. He did those. He was a funny ball player. And then he did those light beer commercials. He was amazing in them. And they're
Jimmy
like,
Carson loved him.
Yeah, he was on. He would come on Carson and they're like, hey, let's give this guy a sitcom. And you know what? It fucking worked. Wait, was he a guest star on a sitcom before he had?
I think it was like Johnny Carson back in the day was such a kingmaker. If you made Johnny laugh, they're like, OK, let's give him his own sitcom. I think that's what happened.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there was only three channels back then. If you got a little juice out of Johnny, it was happening. So Kyle, we love him too. He's great.
Yeah, we love him.
All right. Okay. One more.
Bex, it's your boy, Ryan in La Jolla, AKA Ryan in Laguna Beach.
Oh,
what's up, brother?
Hey brother. Hold on. Let's save this because I think this is about the movie we're about to do. We discussed the 80s classic trans switching. What do you say here?
But it's kind of a Mrs. Doubtfire,
right,
type situation.
She's the man.
See, trans is more about your identity. Right. She was doing undercover work.
Yeah, I didn't mean transsex, but like transitive.
Cross-dress?
Not really.
It's just a disguise movie.
Right. Right.
The general population.
Right. Situation. Okay. We're talking about Just One of the Guys. I'm gonna play the trailer.
Cherry's a girl who wanted to be taken seriously.
I am going to be a reporter.
But her body kept getting in the way.
Pretty girl, you could be a model.
Sometimes I just wish I were a guy.
Well, you know, the male body needs sex at all times. It's a living hell.
So to prove to the men in her life she had a mind, Cherry decided to try life as a guy.
How do I look?
Dashing.
My zipper's open.
That was the dashing part.
What a fox. Dresses like Elvis Costello. Looks like the Karate Kid. I'm gonna get him.
Today's woman has the freedom to be just as sick and perverted as us guys.
She learned their secrets.
I have surprise jock inspections 3 times a week. A word to the wise.
And dated their women.
Yeah, but I got this one rule. I never go out with girls who say bitch.
It's a good rule.
Now the question is,
what's going on?
Wait, it gets better.
Can a girl tell the boy she loves?
Terry's such a stallion. Go on, show me Harry Chef.
She's not the man he thinks she is?
Wait a minute, are those what I think they are?
Yep, it's one of a kind.
The reveal.
My bro.
Just One of the Guys.
She's confused. Of course you're confused. You're wearing my underwear.
Pretty classic 80s trope here. She's in high school. She wants to be a reporter. I'll read the thing. Just One of the Guys is a 1985 American teen comedy film directed by Lisa Gottlieb, written by Dennis Feldman and Jeff Franklin. Although, according to Gottlieb, she also co-wrote the screenplay together with her new writing. I can't even say that guy's name. But then was supposedly denied writing credit by the producers. Well, they let her direct it. Just One of the Guys is a loose adaptation of William Shakespeare's Twelfth Night. The film ranked number 48 on Entertainment Weekly's list of 50 best high school movies. The plot, Terry Griffith is an aspiring teenage journalist in Phoenix who feels that her teachers don't take her articles seriously because of her good looks. After failing to get her dream job as a newspaper intern, she comes to the conclusion that it is because she is a girl. With her parents out of town on a two-week Caribbean vacation, this went on a lot in the 80s, by the way. Just the fucking leaving of your high school kids in your big mansion.
To start high school. I mean,
yeah,
that's a lot of time right at the beginning of the school year.
2 weeks. And this we just watched Weird Science and Wyatt was left home alone in his parents' mansion. That was also Jake Ryan's mansion where he was left alone.
True.
In 16 Candles.
There's no parents allowed in that house.
There's no parents anywhere in the 80s. Terry decides to remedy the situation, enrolling at a rival high school. They kind of played it fast and loose with that one, I would say. She enlists the help of her little brother, Buddy. Buddy's in jail for sex crimes now, by the way. And her best friend, Denise, to disguise herself as a boy. Along the way, she meets Rick Morehouse, a nerd who becomes her pet project after helping him through an image makeover and encouraging him to start talking to girls. Terry starts to fall for him. So this is a classic movie. I've never seen it the whole way through. I know, and I've seen parts. I've obviously seen that one part.
Yeah, I think this is only the second time I've seen it. Like, I must have rented. I didn't see it in the theaters.
Yeah. Terry Griffith, I don't know why. I don't know that she. Well, let's look at what anything else she's ever been in.
I looked her up. She was in Valley Girl. I don't know if it was a big part or not.
Right.
I did read in the footnotes she dated Bruce Springsteen for a few years.
Yes. Our buddy Thousand Steps on Twitter today alerted me to that. Joyce Heiser is her name. She is bodied up. She's more like, yeah, Joycey the body. I mean, come on.
I have thoughts.
I think she did an okay job, but I mean, there's a reason she was hired for this job. And it's a couple scenes in particular because she is, while she, does an androgynous thing and dresses as a man for most of the movie. She is all woman. She was also in This Is Spinal Tap.
She must have been young.
Yeah, the Flash. Well, no, this, because This Is Spinal Tap is 84. This movie's 85. Really? So let's do a. How about we do a little. Joyce Heiser, the lead, Terry Griffith, and Just One of the Guys. So clearly no one in this movie was high school age, right? I mean, I didn't see.
No. What the brother was.
Other than the brother.
The brother felt like he was like 16.
Was he not also on Silver Spoons, or he did something?
He worked.
He was in a lot of stuff.
He got a lot of work in random shit. Yeah. He was the best friend or this or that on sitcoms. He was around.
So when this movie came out in 1985, about how old would you say Joyce Heiser, the star, who it needs to be mentioned again, has had a very beautiful body. How old would you say she was? This was not a teenager's build that this woman had.
Yeah, I'm gonna say she was 25.
Yeah, pretty close. She was, I would guess, around there, like mid-20s, not far off. Born December 20, 1957. When this movie came out, she would have been 28 years old, playing a high school sophomore. Was she a senior? I don't know. She was in high school.
Yeah, I would assume a senior because it was about the prom and the end.
Right. Yes. She switches high schools. Well, we'll get into it because there's one guy in this movie that's so fucking old. I had to pause it.
For me, when she's going to school for the first time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The boyfriend,
Kevin. But he's not in high school.
No, but he's supposed to be college. I mean, yeah. He looked like a guy who was going to plan your 401k for you. Like, he looked like he was 35.
Absolutely. Yeah, there was a lot of good, like, 80s fashion in this. And it's weird how in 80s movies, every guy looks like a total date rapist.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they all just have that kind of James Spader from Pretty in Pink look to him.
Right. The main guy, the nerd who becomes the interest guy.
Yeah.
Where's he from?
I don't know. He's been in things, but he's the one I'm talking about. So she goes to a different high school. So she gets turned down for this scholarship because she's not a dude, or for this internship in her journalism class.
They make it not very vague. That first conversation she overhears the guys talking about, the two teachers, is problematic, to say the least.
Well, one of the teachers should be in prison for sure. He's like, legs. Yeah. He's like, yeah, I didn't give the internship to Terry. And the other guy's like, who cares? She's got a fucking rocking body. I'd like to get those titties bouncing. And the other teacher's like, whoa, buddy, like, hold on. Like, even he was a little pushback.
Even that guy was like, pump the brakes. But maybe she was a junior because I think they said something about her being around another year.
Oh,
maybe,
right. We'll another year. Yeah, that makes sense. So she goes to a different high school and she just like cruises over and just like starts at a different high school. I feel like there's paperwork that needs to be completed.
You need the parents involved, right?
I remember it being a big deal that you had to show your vaccinations.
Right.
When you started at school. Like,
that's true.
Yeah. She just cruised over there and was like, hey, I'm a new student. I don't have a birth certificate. I don't, or maybe because she has an ambiguous name. Terry?
Yeah.
Maybe that didn't matter.
They took some liberties. And how about the first scene where they're having breakfast in the morning and the parents aren't there, of course. Yeah. And she's reading a newspaper like she's actually 28 years old.
Yes.
She's reading a newspaper and the brother has just got the Playboy centerfold pulled out all the way as he's eating cereal or something.
He's so fucking horny.
He's
good.
He's over the top, but he's very good at
it. Oh, you know what we remember him from? He was the buddy in Parker Lewis Can't Lose.
Yeah.
Mikey.
An underrated show.
Yes, he was also on Silver Spoons.
One nerd, Ari Gross, he was the buddy in Soul Man.
Yes, he was also wasn't he the guy? He was in a lot of stuff in the 80s, Ari Gross. Wasn't he the guy in Campus Man? You remember that one?
I know of it. I don't know.
I think that would be a good one to do. The brother's pretty good. He's pretty funny. But he's so horny and he's like,
He's like grabbing the one girl by the legs.
Yeah. He's
as she's leaving,
like every line he does in the movie is about how bad he wants to fuck. And also, he wasn't that old because he's born 69.
No. So he was like 16.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
But yeah, he's so horny that like Sam Malone would be like, "Hey, buddy, why don't you calm down a little bit?"
It's really a lot. His walls are plastered with
centerfolds,
right? And it's like a lot of retro Bush. And I just like the parents must have been super chill. These were like ex hippie parents or something.
Yeah, well, they're leaving their high school kids for 2 weeks,
right? And also, they have a very plush residence. The Terry's bedroom is like a master suite. It's got like a desk area and built-ins in the walls, and it's very, very nice. The dad must be some type of attorney or something.
This is where it's unrealistic, because at least from my high school experience, somebody whose parents leave them for 2 weeks with a house that big, they're having a party.
Oh, for sure. You're getting kegs.
They never really had that. They didn't have like the Jake Ryan type party at their house.
No, they didn't have. Yeah, that was
like they had maybe a couple people over, but they never had.
For sure, buddy. Any guy that's trying that hard to get ass is going to be hosting something. I remember in high school, people would have parties when their parents weren't even going to be gone the whole night.
Oh, yeah.
They'd just be like
ready to run.
Right. They'd be like, "Don't worry, my parents are going to be home at 11:30. So we'll just keep it in the backyard, and when we see the garage opening, everybody go out the side." And it's like, "Are you like you're fucking crazy?" So yeah, that was kind of unrealistic. But she goes to another school and she hooks up. Well, there's two things about the other school. First of all, there's a bully at the new school that she goes to. And you
found the best 80s bully.
Are you? I hope you're sitting down, because you would never in a million years, if you haven't seen this movie, guess who plays the bully. It's William Zabka, Johnny Lawrence from Karate Kid.
I got to say, as cliche as he was as a bully,
he's great at it.
Fucking good. He's great at it. He's good looking.
He's handsome.
He's got charisma. He's the guy.
I do like that he's just like, he's like a fit guy or whatever, but the whole sort of storyline is like how much he works out. And he's like, if you can't get into the gym to squat, just fucking just lift tables and dump everybody's lunch. It's like all, and he's wedgies. Like, he's not like jacked, but
no, but he's giving the kid wedgies, but turning it into like a deadlift.
Yes, right? he's totally.
He's just got this nerd that he's doing, but he also says something like, I work out all the time, like something like just like I jack off, something like that to the buddies.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah, that was a little weird. But he's just the same guy that he plays in every movie you've ever seen him in. Back to School, of course, Star Turn and the Karate Kid.
Even European Vacation.
Right.
He plays the dickish Jack.
Right. He's a real dickhead, but he's perfect at it. And then she befriends this guy who's supposedly a nerd. And this is like, at least give him some glasses, because the guy that's supposed to be the nerd in this movie is not only beautiful, but he's a man.
He really was.
Like I was watching it. I had to pause because I'm like, that dude has crow's feet. He had crow's feet and laugh lines.
Yeah, he was a man. He was a man.
Rick Morehouse, portrayed by Clayton Rohner. I won't play the music, but he also was 28 years old.
And he looked like way older than 28 even.
Yeah, he looked like
she had
early
a youthful
30s. Yeah.
Vibe about her.
Yes.
Her body wasn't a high school girl's, but she had a youthful vibe. He did not have a youthful vibe. He had a grown man vibe.
No, he is, and he's worked a lot. He's still acts in things. X-Files.
Yeah. But he's got like a white beard, gray beard. I looked at it like, where are they now?
Yeah.
He looks well into his 60s kind of look.
But he doesn't really play as a nerd. Like, she gets him to go.
Well, there are also the Ari Gross, one of them. They've got the super nerds that are like.
Right.
Like, really disconcerting.
They're supposed to be like.
Movie nerds.
Right. They're supposed to be like Trekkies.
Yeah, but they're really It's too much.
It's a lot. It's over nerdness. But this guy, Rick Morehouse, he doesn't really play as a nerd at all. And then they're like, they go to his house and they're drinking generic beer, which was totally a thing in the 80s.
Yeah. They just couldn't get a sponsorship. Right. Why wouldn't every beer company want that?
Yeah, you would think. And then
it's called Brewski or something.
Yeah. Then his thing was that his nerdy thing about him was that he liked James Brown. James Brown is fucking awesome. Like, what's nerdy about that?
When was James Brown not a cool thing?
Right, exactly. Like, that was kind of weird. But so she's playing a guy. And how do we feel about her portrayal as a guy? Like,
at first I just wanted to be like, she's not passable at all. Although she's as much of a guy as Macchio in Karate Kid.
Oh yeah,
like Macchio.
At one point they say she looks like the Karate Kid. Or like that's brought up.
She does. She's got that vibe to her.
Right. And she also kind of has like a little bit of a Corey Feldman.
Yeah, the one thing that bothered me, because I just noticed it early, her upper lip never moved while she talked.
Oh, interesting. She's one of those.
Yeah.
Now, she obviously studied male performances to get her mannerisms.
Well, her buddy teaches her about really working over your balls in public, which was weird.
That's weird because one of the things he's like, how are you going to walk? And he's like, no, you can't walk like that. And then he's like, how are you going to do your ball scratch? And she's like, what? And he's like got a whole system for how to scratch his balls. And I don't feel like I scratch my balls very often at all.
I'm not going to say I don't do it, but if you do, it's not something you do in public.
No, definitely.
If you've got to rearrange, you don't like he was making it like performance art. Like, this is how you really dig in there. He's like, all balls itch. It's a fact.
Yeah, he had a real like style to scratching his balls, which is very disturbing. Also, he was fond of the cut off jean jacket over a long sleeve sweatshirt look.
Yeah, there were odd layering. I thought you were saying he was fond of the friend, which I thought she was great.
Denise. Great,
but she was a likable and normal kind of good friend.
Yes.
I mean, she put up with a lot of shit with her friend.
She really did. And then the friend ends up getting it in with one of the like 40 plus year old band members.
And by the way, where are they now? The friend, at least what I saw, held up the best of the cast.
Oh, interesting. Oh,
yeah.
Very interesting.
At least the picture I saw.
Tony Hudson. Oh, I agree with you. Oh, very attractive. Yes.
She's attractive. She actually seemed a little bit younger. I would guess she's 3-4 years younger.
You're right. Yeah. She's born 1960. So she would have been about 25 when this came out. And she's still working today. Very active. What I was going to say about Terry's performance as a man is she was doing a Mike Damone impression the whole time.
That's true. She had this weird accent.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd be like, where are you from? This is not an Arizona. Right.
She's like, at one point, she's like, hey, Rat. And I was like, whoa, what's going on here? Whether
she comes, stays, lays, or prays.
Right? I thought they were.
No matter what happened, your feet are still tapping.
I thought they were actually related, but apparently not.
So she helps the guy have a makeover, which isn't much of a makeover.
No, she just basically gets him worse clothes. Like, he dresses kind of normally, not like bad 80s fashion. And she's like, she's got a convertible Mustang and she like takes him to the mall. He's like, I don't have any money because he's poor. And she's like, don't worry, I got plastic. Remember them calling it plastic?
Yeah,
I got plastic.
I've got one more guy just to see in my notes that also belongs in jail. How about the basketball/bowling coach who loved jock? It surprised jock inspection or something.
Okay. There was a lot of like jock related humor in the 80s, like having to wear a jock strap. This guy's jock put itching powder in the jock strap.
But he was
inspecting jock straps.
Funny.
There was a lot of weird locker room action in this movie. And I wondered, like, what do you think Terry's plan was? Because she signed up for school and then seemed to not really have any good ideas about what she was going to do in terms of changing for gym class. It seems like an extreme measure to
change her gym class.
Right. And she didn't seem like she had really thought that out. Maybe when she signed up, she could have gotten herself excused forever from gym class, but she doesn't. And then there's a lot of showering and checking out of each other's dicks, I noticed, at this school. Yeah.
And also, if you set off a fire alarm like she did so she could get dressed.
Yeah.
I mean, gym period is over. You don't. Fire alarms are not like a 4-minute thing.
No, no.
Everybody's standing around. She doesn't do that. And then they go back to class.
I think the passing periods in my high school were like 6 minutes. So that's like the amount of time you had to go and like change out your gym clothes or whatever. Like,
yeah, you didn't have much time.
No, you didn't have much time. They had a lot of time. And then they had plenty of time to take a shower after gym. And because the jock inspector bowling coach teacher was like, well, if you're not going to participate in gym, you're going to have to do another job. And her job was handing out towels. What? Why did the towels need to be hand delivered to the people?
Are there hooks? I mean, what is going on?
I mean, if you go to the kind of high school that provides you a fucking towel for gym, like it's the Ritz-Carlton, wouldn't they just be like stacked? You wouldn't actually need to have someone give you one. And she's really observing everybody's dong as they come out of the shower. I mean, as probably anyone would.
Right, but it would be hard for anybody to not think Terry was anything but a gay guy. Like everyone would be like, oh, you mean the gay guy who's like checking us out in the locker room?
Yes. Yeah, that's true. He would have been, targeted because also he was, you know, he was a little femmy.
Right. So in the 80s, today, even people are okay with a lifestyle.
Sure.
But they'd still be like, hey, what's with the gay dude who's just like eyeballing my junk?
Yeah.
Like, what is happening?
Yeah, it was a little weird. Eventually. What else happened? Yo, Rick, how they hang it? Oh, there was a lot of weird dialogue.
Well, but Buddy had a good moment with when he was studying with the girl, and she's like, I gotta leave. And he was talking about something about how he could, obviously about how he could bang her. And as she's like walking away and he's dragging along her ankles, he goes, would it help if I told you I was hung like a bear?
Right. Yes. So good.
She's like, yes.
He's really the high point of the movie. Sherilyn Fenn is also in the movie, and this is,
She's into it. She's into Terry.
Yeah, she's into Terry, and a young Brian Beckner was very into Sherilyn Fenn, and an adult Brian Beckner once ran into Sherilyn Fenn at a hotel bar.
Interesting.
And she was with a guy, so it was, you know, it was fine. But I felt like our planes of attractiveness she had aged to a level, as had I, that it wouldn't have been out of the question for me to just shoot a shot at Sherilyn Fenn.
Right.
I felt like
I always wonder about where on the career arc.
Right.
Right. Like there are some people that the career arc just never comes down pretty deep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, Helen Mirren.
Right.
It still works much longer. Right. But some people. Yeah. Like I wonder about Terry from Three's Company.
Oh, she's gettable. She was she was gettable in Mallrats.
Right, but she was good, and I mean, good. Yeah. She was looking pretty good in Mallrats.
She was looking very good, but she wasn't working consistently. So,
right,
she's available. She's available to be got. Oh yeah. So eventually, Rick has to stand up to Johnny Lawrence, and you know, Johnny Lawrence is a pretty big bully. He's also affecting a very flamboyant 80s denim sleeveless jacket with a sweatshirt underneath.
Yeah.
With the fitted elastic waist. And he's tormenting everybody at lunch. He's got a thing where he comes over to the table, and because he's so jacked, although really anybody could lift up a banquet table like they have in cafeterias.
They're meant to be light.
Right. Exactly. They have to be moved. You know, you gotta, like, if they're going to have a dance or an assembly or something in that cafeteria, they got to move the tables out of the way. So, but his thing is like, he lifts up the table every day and dumps everybody's lunch. But finally this Rick guy stands up to him and, you know, it's a big turning point for the school. Although I will say, Rick goes a little bit far because he outs Johnny Lawrence for having a small weenie. It's a matter of fact, I believe that's what he says. Small.
He's like, it's not something you're supposed to do.
It's really like his behavior hadn't merited that kind of outing. He was definitely a bad guy, but you have to, you know, manslaughter somebody, you have to do something really horrible to be outed in front of the whole school for having a small dick. I think that was just a little bit too far for Rick to go, but then that makes Rick kind of a big man on campus, and then he ends up taking Johnny Lawrence's girlfriend to the prom, which Terry gets a little bit jealous because even though he thinks she's a dude, she's smitten. She realizes she's not into her Mr. Wonderful college boyfriend.
Yeah, I mean,
she's now into Rick.
Yeah, Rick is, he's pretty nice with Terry.
He is.
I mean, it's clear that Terry is a gay guy who's into him.
Right. That would seem like how it read, yes.
I'm just saying, if you thought he was a guy, like he was giving off a vibe that he was a gay guy. And Rick was like, for 1985, he was very cool with it.
Yeah.
I mean, even at the prom, they were doing some weird dance together.
Yeah, there was a lot of weird dancing going on. This happened a lot in 80s movies. There were a lot of dance scenes in movies and people were really going for it. And as I recall,
like, it lasted a long time, not like 5 seconds to give you the idea of what was happening. Like 2 minutes of them dancing.
Yeah. And it was like everybody had moves. Like they kind of knew what they were doing in terms, like it looked like they danced often or had like studied dance. It was a lot to take in. What I noticed is that I think it's Denise at one point. She's there while.
Denise goes with Terry.
She goes with Terry and she's there while Terry's getting ready for something. I think it's when she's supposed to go on a date and she looks super hot in that white leather suit.
Yeah.
And Denise has a sweatshirt with the neck cut out, which was sweatshirt in the 80s. Do you think there's like a landfill somewhere that's just full, just completely filled? It's like a whole canyon somewhere filled with 1980s sweater necks.
Yeah, it's like that Seinfeld episode with the muffin bottoms.
Yes, nobody eats the bottoms. You can't even give them to the homeless.
Yeah,
they don't want them. So they go to the prom, and the band is just overtly trying to fuck all the high school girls. It's really kind of off-putting. And I guess that's why they cast adults in these jobs in the 80s. So it wouldn't seem weird that they were like doing sexual stuff. I don't know.
I gotta say, I don't think that's so unrealistic. I mean, you've been to a wedding where the band is
sure.
I mean, it's not high school kids, right. But the band is pursuing when they're on their break. They're pursuing how they can line things up.
Oh, I at my first wedding, there was a band, and they were like a pretty popular, like local band that played a lot of bars and stuff, and they're still popular today. They still play around. Yeah. And I know for sure that the bass player had a great night that night. Not with the bridesmaid, but with a friend of the bride.
Nice.
For sure. Yeah. That wasn't a surprise. And then they have a fight, like it just ends like every other high school movie.
But it was weird that The problem with this was they already had the lunch, the cafeteria scene.
Right.
And then they have another fight.
Well, yeah, because he's like, Johnny Lawrence is like, you're dead. Like he mouths it. But it's like you could have done that. All he did was get everybody to dump their lunch on your pants that day. I mean, you could have grabbed him and throttled him there. But it was kind of, I mean, Johnny Lawrence was being cucked at that point because Rick,
yeah, he's just staring at Rick, right. Going at his
Rick's girl Deborah is fucking way, or Johnny's girl Deborah is way into Rick now, and Johnny with his tiny ass dick is having a hard time with it, as would anyone. So eventually they brawl, and the fight scene is not what I would call super realistic. There's when the actual actors are supposed to be fighting, the punches are missing by a great many inches.
Johnny doesn't have his karate fighting skills.
No. And then when it was like a wide shot, it was obvious stuntmen in bleach blonde wigs, like being thrown into tables and stuff.
When they go over the railing, it's totally like the stuntman. It doesn't even look remotely like him.
Yeah.
They're like, put on a tuxedo. Nobody will know.
Yes. It was weird. And then, so she tried, Terry's gets Rick alone and she's like, look, I got something to tell you. I'm a girl. And he says, and I'm Cindy Lauper.
Like I'm Cindy Lauper.
Like he really mispronounces it though.
You're like, buddy, have you been alive in the 80s? Yeah, it's 1985. Every fucking person on earth knows who she is.
She's on MTV every fucking 5 minutes. Like she's hanging out with Lou Albano. Like everybody knows.
I'm Cindy Lauper.
Everyone knows who Cindy Lauper is. It was very weird. But now the lengths that Terry has to go to prove her womanhood are strange to me because I feel like it would be like, it would just be easier. She could just talk in her regular voice. Like if you.
Right. She could just stop talking like Damone.
Right. It wouldn't be like too hard to prove. Cause she does kind of look like a chick anyway. And then once she said it, you'd be like, oh yeah, I saw it.
And you notice there's no Adam's apple.
Right.
And I'm feeling like it's not, right. Yeah, it's not hard. But this was a very 80s movie thing. They're like, well, we'll never sell this picture overseas unless she shows the goods.
And so she exposes, and this is a very famous scene. I'm sure most people of a certain age have seen it. She exposes a very robust pair of very beautiful natural breasts that I would put maybe obviously not as iconic as the Phoebe Cates Living in Stereo. I got a little water in my ear scene.
Yeah.
But
anybody fucking knock?
I would put it 1B in terms of 1980s exposed breasts. 1A, 1B. And that's how he knows. Buddy ends up tagging Sherilyn Fenn. She goes back home later that night. And also, you remember like it was you always like had to keep it a secret. If you had sex with somebody when you're younger, like it wasn't like you couldn't let it get around. Buddy's like, she walks in and he's like, she's like, what are you guys doing? And he's like, oh, I just been wearing it out. I fucking had her in every position. I'm just like, he was not Cyrano de Bergerac there. Sir Walter Raleigh.
No, he was just vomiting out words.
Right. So I mean, that's pretty much it, right?
He first rejects her when she shows the goods, and then she like goes up to him and kisses him, and they're both in tuxedos. And then he says to everybody, "Oh, it's all right. She's got tits."
Yeah, that was a little weird. Because they all think she's a dude.
Yeah, but doesn't he say?
Yeah.
Oh, she has tits.
She has tits, which is just a weird explanation. Like, you could be like, she's actually a girl. Right.
It's okay, everybody.
Although I did like that it was, you know, in 1985, like, the whole gay, he's like, it's okay, you're gay, who cares? Like,
right.
1985.
He was cool with it.
Yeah.
But it got weird.
That was pretty progressive. You know what I liked in the, there was a lot of like very 80s things, including in amongst the all the retro Bush porn on the walls of Buddy's room. He had a No Bozos sticker.
I forgot about the No
Bozos. I forgot about No Bozos, and I realized today. So if you're not a child of the 80s, you don't know this. It's a picture of Bozo the Clown. It's like a cartoon drawing of Bozo the Clown with circle slash. And then next to it, it says No Bozos exclamation point. And I'll be honest, never really understood it.
No, definitely not. But it was everywhere.
It was like on everybody's bumper. It was on everything. It was like such a big
skateboards. You bought it on skateboards. Yes.
And it was like, what does that mean? And I don't think anybody knows.
Yeah. Although I've tried to bring the word back in my world.
Bozo.
Well, I've called the president a bozo a couple times.
That's good. I like that.
Kind of a fun word.
Yeah. No, it's a great word. I love it. I'll use it, but I don't really get the meme.
People did not like clowns.
Right. Yeah. They didn't want you acting like a jackass, right? So don't be a bozo.
Right, but they wouldn't say no jackass. They'd say no bozos.
Right. No bozos around here. No bozos allowed. let's finish Ryan and La Jolla's voicemail and see what his thoughts are on Just One of the Guys.
Just wanted to leave a quick voicemail on the movie. I think I was born in 78, so I was like 7 or 8 when that movie came out. Just One of the Guys. Great set of tits on Joyce.
Gotta agree. Thumbs up to that. Gotta agree with you there, Ryan and La Jolla. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Probably one of the first.
And also, I mean, hold on. Let's not reduce Joyce to just a set of tits, because there's also a pool scene where she's wearing a bikini. And the whole body is just beautiful. She's very, very stacked top to bottom. So let's not reduce her to only her breasts.
But her upper lip never moves.
She's, I wouldn't say the most beautiful, but I mean, nice body.
As I can actually remember seeing some fantastic cans on that one. Never miss anything with Billy Zabka or Billy Jacoby. Malcolm in the Middle.
Yep.
He was excellent in that TV show. And then my favorite part of the whole film, whose mom and dad let them put Playboys up all over their.
It's crazy. Bedroom. It's crazy.
That was literally one of the coolest things.
It's crazy.
As somebody who grew up in a household with a dad who had a subscription to Playboy, I admired that even more. So awesome film. You're the best. Love the podcast. We're way overdue for golf, drinks, dinner, whatever you want to do. My treat. Just say when. And say hi to your new lady friend for me.
Talk to you later. Wow. Wow.
Now I know why he only addressed it to Brian. Right. It had nothing to do with me. Right. He was talking about dinner.
I mean, Ryan and La Jolla just putting stuff on Front Street there, buddy. Appreciate that.
What was I going to say? Oh, the most I got away with, I think I had the Elle Macpherson calendar.
Oh, yeah. The body? You talk about the body?
I had a couple years I had the Sports Illustrated swimsuit calendar.
Oh, yeah.
And 1 year I had just 12 pictures of Elle Macpherson, but that was it.
Yeah.
I had Playboys everywhere. That's crazy.
Well, I had a secret stash I would.
No, but I'm talking about on your wall.
Like, oh, yeah, no. I would have like the Car posters or like Heather Thomas. You know,
sports posters.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely had like a chick like on a Lamborghini at one point, or like, I don't know, like band, you'd get like a Motley Crue poster and it'd have some hot chicks in it. I'd have that. Some of the stuff. Oh, this I noticed in the boys' restroom at the high school. There's graffiti on a stall that reads Lisa plus Joyce are sluts. An in-joke referring to Joyce Heiser and director Lisa Gottlieb. Yeah, I had that in my notes. I thought that was some pretty good graffiti. Clayton Rohner's Rick character is obsessed with James Brown. Before the prom scene was shot, Brown spent 3 days on the set teaching Rohner his dance. No wonder they're so good at dancing.
Wow.
He got taught by James Brown?
He got a... I mean, they paid for James Brown to give him lessons. That's crazy.
James Brown doesn't walk across the street unless you got a stack of cash for him. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And probably
he was having, you know what? He was having tax problems the time. So I'm sure they were able to work something out.
I believe he was also having cocaine problems at the time. So,
and violence against women problems.
Right. And
it was actually, I think it was 84 or 85 when I met James Brown, my most famous celebrity encounter.
That's anybody's most famous celebrity encounter. Was it not in an elevator?
It was in an elevator.
Yeah.
The same day I was in an elevator with Paul Orndorff, Mr. Wonderful. Wow,
amazing.
It was in Orlando. We were going to Disney.
Wow.
And it was in Orlando, or maybe it was like Jacksonville. It was like in that same trip, but James Brown, my dad's like, my dad, you know, like leans over to me and he goes, "It's James Brown." And I knew because of Living in America.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I mean,
Rocky IV.
I guess I knew him anyway, but it was big at that time. And he goes, "That's James Brown." And I look around and I wasn't like slick about it because I was like, I don't know, 9 or whatever I was. And, he looked at me and he looked like he was glistening, like, you know.
Yeah, he's a little sweaty, wet.
And he just like mussed up my hair and he goes, "God bless."
Amazing.
Real loud.
Amazing.
Screamed in the elevator.
Amazing. In his wig.
No, I'll never have a celebrity encounter.
No,
like that.
It's, no, he's one of the most famous people.
And Jay-Z would turn around for James Brown.
Right. Oh, for sure. As seen in her room, Terry has a few Bruce Springsteen posters. At the time of filming, Heiser had already been dating Springsteen for several years. Bet he has fond memories of that. Let's see. The generic blue stripe beer cans during the campfire scene were real products in the 80s. I remember seeing these at the store. Popular for their low cost during their during the sluggish national economy and for young people looking for the cheapest possible buzz. These generic products were a subject of satire in the 80s movie Repo Man, which has led many modern viewers to think they had no basis in reality. No, there was that blue generic label, everything, beer, cigarettes. It was just a white pack of cigarettes with a blue stripe on them that said cigarettes. There was like crackers, like there was one of those of every kind of thing at the store. Generic brands.
And it was like, it was a really harsh looking label.
Yeah, it really was. And also, like, how much cheaper is generic beer than like Meisterbrau? I bet you Meisterbrau was cheaper than the generic brand.
That's funny. I didn't think about it. Yeah. You can't get much cheaper.
No.
Than like Meisterbrau or, you know, Natty.
Yeah.
Something like that.
The plot of this film is very loosely based on William Shakespeare's play Twelfth Night. Terry Griffith is the Viola Cesario character. Rick Morehouse is the Orsino character. Sandy,
they definitely didn't have the reveal scene because in Shakespeare's day, men played the women parts.
That's right. And also, 100% this movie is 1,000 times better than the Shakespeare thing, because let's be honest, all Shakespeare's dog shit. Like, if you don't even pretend like you can understand that bullshit, because no one can.
It's tough to understand, but the fact that they still used a framework for a lot of his stories is pretty fucking
amazing. Yeah, that is kind of, I agree. Sandy mentions that Terry looks like the Karate Kid. William Zabka, playing school bully Greg, appeared as the bully in the Karate Kid only 1 year before. Which is crazy that it was already like a cultural reference.
It was huge, though.
Yes, that's true. The song Tonight You're Mine, Baby, sung by Ronnie Spector, plays in the final scene when Rick drives away with Terry in her car. The song first plays when Terry drives Rick home from school after she befriended him in the cafeteria. It's the only scenes both are in a car together. Interesting. Joyce Heiser had to wrap her torso with ace bandages under her wardrobe when she played the male version of Terry to flatten her bosom, her ample bosom. She said it was tremendously uncomfortable in the 90 degree desert heat while filming. Yeah.
I think that's also what they do for guys so they don't get boners and love scenes and stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes they get the ace bandages and really wrap the, groin area.
I think they just have like super tight like undies, like special like dickless underwear, so you don't embarrass yourself. That would be pretty embarrassing. Joyce Heiser, this is her only top billing, you know. She came and went. Spectacular performance, though. Final cinema movie directed by director Lisa Gottlieb for around a decade until Across the Moon. Never heard of it.
Yeah, I think this was the last for lots.
Yeah.
Ari Gross probably got the most work out
of
the cast.
Yeah, and, well, and Buddy.
Oh, Buddy, right.
Who apparently was also on Malcolm in the Middle. He is a very full IMDb page. I liked it. I hadn't seen it before. It's just like a quintessential 80s movie. Yeah. And it's like not
pleasantly surprised.
It's not too problematic. Like, you expect it to be like way over the top with the whole gender bending aspect of it. And even the, like, when he's like, oh, you're gay, who cares, part of it. Like, it plays today just like it did back then. Like, it's fine.
Teachers in the beginning
a little bit, but I think that was played for the effect that it had. Like, they were supposed to be problematic.
A jock inspecting bowling,
a little weird. Best. Yeah,
that probably. But overall, I'm nitpicking here.
I agree.
Solid. Yeah. Solid.
It's pretty good. All right. Well, that's it. Let's next week we'll do Fast Five. Anything else to add, Ed? Oh, Jesus Christ, Ed! We almost did it again.
Who's that loud comer? Coming all over
everyone. Oh, I
mean,
I noticed all the noise at the end.
Oh yeah, he does a lot of grunting.
Yeah.
Yeah. He does loud coming in. A loud coming effect in the song. I feel like we're both going to be on the same page here. I'll let you go first. Ed, who's the obvious loud comer in Just One of the Guys?
I think it's Buddy.
It's got to be Buddy. He's pent up.
He's put so much into this thing.
I feel like he might shoot it through her back, Superman style. Yeah, like he need a kryptonite condom.
Like in a Scary Movie.
Yeah.
When she finally gives up the goods and he paces her to the ceiling.
Yes. I mean, my man is so fucking horny. It's ridiculous. He would have to come very loudly. I couldn't imagine anyone in this movie coming nearly as loud as Buddy. Buddy's definitely the loud comer. Okay. For Ed Daly, my name's Brian Beckner. This has been episode 336 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. We will see you next week.
Goodbye.
Yes, the light.
Lifestyle's baller. Podcast getting bigger and not smaller. Broadcasting weekly, that's what we do. With Easy Ed Daily and the man Jay Stew and Brian Beckner, quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever. Not just my brothers, reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the Lifestyle's Baller. And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS, the Lifestyle's Baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the Lifestyle's Baller. And you know the show is for all us. TBLS, the Lifestyle's Baller.